Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined, as we have the privilege of being each week, by our friend and colleague at the Center for Security Policy, our senior fellow specializing in economic warfare, Kevin Freeman. Kevin is the author of two best-selling books, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Kevin is the genius behind globaleconomicwarfare.com, a terrific website resource. He is also soon to be the star of a new program at the Blaze Network entitled Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. Kevin, it's good to have you. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, there's a couple of things that I want to get into, and we won't have time to do justice to any of them, I'm afraid. But just to pick up on something that I was discussing with Louise Fleischman a moment ago, and that is the current thrashing on the latest evidence out of the National Security Agency that Russia actually hacked into some of our balloting systems, or certainly was very hard at it, is calling to mind, to me at least, the larger problem, the much more serious problem in many ways, of their potential ability to interfere with a very important sector of our economy, namely our energy sector. I know you've been concerned about this with respect to this a transaction involving Citgo assets from Venezuela to the Russians. Give us a quick sense of how serious this problem is as you see it, Kevin Freeman.
Well, first, if they were hacking into the election, it was with the intention ultimately to impact our energy decisions. Energy is the lifeblood of Russia. Putin has been called out multiple times on interfering with various nations around the world attempts to get energy independent through hydraulic fracking and through technology and shale oil plays to have an entree into one of our most significant sectors, energy, but particularly in refining. That's exactly what he's trying to get at. And so we're opposing him on the one side, don't hack into our elections as we should, while leaving an open door because it just looks like a commercial transaction and letting him, through Russian interests, purchase and control a lot of our refining capacity.
I think all of us have to be attending closely to what is apparently now going on in the way of a formal investigation by the so-called Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, which I hope will recognize that this is a very serious threat to our economy and will oppose this transaction. Kevin, let me turn to, speaking of oil, speaking of countries that are interested in disrupting our energy sector, the nation of Qatar, currently the subject of an intense internecine struggle with other Arab oil states and others in the region over its activities that are causing them problems, but also, needless to say, are causing us problems as well. What do you make of this struggle at the moment? And should we regard Qatar as an ally? We have bases there, of course, and our government has been indicating that it's neutral in all of this. But are they, in fact, friend or foe?
Well, we should hope that Qatar would be an ally, but they've certainly not acted like it. We have direct evidence of their role and involvement in the Arab Spring, which caused enormous problems in the Middle East. We know that they harbor and support the Muslim Brotherhood, which is something we should declare a terror group here in the United States, as many other nations have done. We know that they were involved as a sovereign wealth fund in the 2008 financial crisis. And they were large owners of Barclays, and they were pushing Barclays not to support Lehman Brothers, which triggered all of the financial collapse. And they've historically harbored people that are very anti-American. So we'd like to have them as an ally. They just haven't acted like one.
Talk a bit more about this business, Kevin Freeman, this Sheikh Yusuf Qaradawi and his prominent role in the nation and sovereign wealth fund of Qatar. Also, his program on Al Jazeera, a propaganda arm of the Qatari government that's virulently Sharia supremacist, as is Qaradawi. And in particular, some of the forensic work that you have done, documented in your terrific book, Secret Weapon, about the role that Qatar played in taking down the U.S. economy in September 2008. In fact, beginning, as I recall, on September 11th, 2008.
That's right. On September 11th, 2008, the trigger was pulled on a plan that may have been hatched at the Qatari Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is Sharia compliant. And as you know, a Sharia compliant fund has to adhere to certain restrictions and guidelines. But one of those is they have to have a Sharia scholar. And the Sharia scholar is this guy, Qaradawi, who is a Muslim Brotherhood scholar. And he could say what you could or could not invest in. And one of the things that had been just released to invest in was were financial institutions, banks like Barclays, and they held a large position in Barclays. And then through Barclays, they held, it appears, short positions on Lehman Brothers. So when you trace it all back, you see that on September 11th, there was a massive naked short-selling attack directed against Lehman Brothers, even though it was properly capitalized, met all the capital requirements and so forth, that literally choked all of the life out of Lehman. And when Lehman went down, the entire stock market went down. So it appears from everything we've traced that it goes right back to a decision made by a Sharia scholar sitting in Qatar who is a Muslim Brotherhood leader.
And in part, this thesis of yours has been validated by the former CEO of Lehman Brothers. You've got a terrific piece on your website, globaleconomicwarfare.com, Kevin Freeman. Tell us a bit about what this former CEO, Fuld, said that seems to bear out many of your contentions.
Well, there's no doubt, and Dick Fuld agreed with this, there's no doubt that Lehman was in a substantially acceptable position. They weren't the strongest company on Wall Street, but they were in an acceptable position. They met all the capital standards, but something triggered and happened that caused literally a run on the bank. And when that happened, within a matter of a week's time, starting on September 11th, the stock collapsed and the stock market with it. And Dick Fuld has pointed out repeatedly, we were meeting the capital standards, even far exceeding the capital standards in many cases. We weren't a bankrupt company, but somebody somewhere, and we traced it back to the sovereign wealth funds, decided to pull the trigger and say, let's do a bear raid, George Soros-style bear raid against Lehman Brothers, and they created such a panic, it collapsed Lehman, almost took down Goldman Sachs, and almost took down all of Wall Street.
Hey, Kevin, very quickly, lastly, there is a new currency in play at the moment. I want you to talk very quickly, if you could, about 1 gram. And are all of these sort of electronic and cryptocurrencies now becoming a serious threat to the sort of reserve currency status of the dollar? Or is that something still far off in the distance?
I think it's probably still pretty good in the distance, but these are the foundational elements that you would have to put in place if you were to replace the U.S. dollar. And if their gold offered on electronic forms, ultimately backed by nation states, they have the potential to at some point replace the dollar. I don't think we're there yet. I think right now they're in their infancy, but they can grow really quickly in the right circumstances. And if sovereign wealth funds decide to adopt them, we could watch that happen, and it could happen faster than we think. But right now, I think they're in the distance.
Kevin, we have to leave it at that for the moment, though. Come back to us again next week if you would. And in the meantime, I know you'll do continuing splendid work at globaleconomicwarfare.com. And, of course, in connection with your work as a senior fellow of the Center for Security Policy. Next up, we have a very special tribute on the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War from two generations of Lang fans. Witnesses to history, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.